There's an interesting thing that scientists have just recently found, and people that were the people that had known spirit have known it all along, and that is that by observing an experiment, you change the experiment. If you're trying to do a scientific experiment on the edges of science, all of the concept of the scientific method goes out the door. And the reason is that if you have a particular experiment, well, that's too technical, the act of observing it changes it. Now, what that means, of course, then, well, if you narrow the boundaries of the of what you're looking at, then pretty soon you can make science work. And if you expand the boundaries, you find out that science doesn't work. Well, the same is true in your life. If you narrow your boundaries, then you can be convinced that cause and effect works. And that's what you get when you argue with idiots. But if you expand your boundaries, as the scripture exhortation is to expand the tent pegs, then you find that you find this strange phenomenon. God gave you the power to change reality. And by operating in it, your reality can change. In other words, all of these guys like Zig Ziglar and the power of positive thinking and all that work. But they work because God had to give the human race that potential in order for discipleship to be possible. Now, you can change your life by doing all kinds of little hoochie-coochie things. You can, you know, by the act of discipline, you can change your life. You can lose weight, you can gain weight, you can get muscles, you can improve your mind, you can sublimate certain physical activities and cravings, you can visualize something and make it come to pass. Because God had to give you the power to be able to create in order for you to have the potential to be a disciple. Now, and it goes so far as this investigation or these interviews and stuff that I've been doing with these yogas. In some of the yoga masters, through mass discipline, they have the power to manifest. In other words, they can take this, I don't know if I told this group or not, but did I tell you?
No.
This one guy in particular, Sai Baba is his name, anyway.
Did you talk with him?
Who?
Sai Baba?
Well, he's a blithering idiot. I talked to him a long time ago. But what he can do is he can manifest sand. That's his shtick.
He sends it.
Huh?
He sends it to people.
Anyway. But what he does is he can do all these experiments around him so that you can see there's nowhere it can come from, and slowly but surely he can open and manipulate his hand, and pretty soon there'll be a pile of sand on the ground that weighs more than he does. Now,
something just struck me as really funny, I'm sorry, but it strikes me as really funny. That what you just described is a big deal to human beings. That's a big deal. Somebody can create a pile of sand. Okay, now create a steam shovel, create a fish, create all the. I mean, it's like okay, well, it's a pile of sand.
And when someone can manifest, then he spent a lifetime learning how to do this by discipline. Then he's considered a yoga master. Well, if someone can cause by looking at you or pointing at you, cause you to receive an electrical shock and illuminate your body, there's only the all of the yoga prophetic literature says that that person will be the fourth avatar, which means he's the incarnation of the Christ. It's not Jesus Christ, but he's the incarnation of the Christ just before the end of the age. Well, that's this guy that I've been talking to. That's this guy. His name is Hari Harinanda. And you haven't heard of him yet here, but you will. He can cause, but if your will is either in neutral or if you believe in him, he can cause you to see what he sees, and he can cause you to receive this huge electrical shock where you'll just sit there and shake just by looking at you. He's a crooked, evil man for another reason, but that's what I'm trying to tell you is the power to change reality is real. Maybe some of you suspected a little bit, but I was pretty good at manipulating crowds. And I was pretty good at you know, hypnosis and yoga. And I mean, who knows whether I could have reached that level, but the mystery is when I became a believer, I saw that the only manifestation that was meaningful in terms of God was the emptying of self. Not trying to get self to do tricks or parlor tricks, not trying to get self to be something, but that by the act of being an empty vessel, that he would have that the Lord of the universe would have a habitation. The only way you can do that is to believe. I can't empty myself into nothing. I can't empty myself I can't be totally weak and have no idea what I'm going to say next or anything like that into a pond of sharks or alligators. I mean, I have to believe, I have to know that there is a foundation, there's a basis which gives life and majesty and meaning to the abandonment of self. And that basis, of course, is the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. I don't have to be anything, I don't have to try to be anything, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to gain sustenance from anything. I don't have to worry about what somebody thinks of me or doesn't think about me. I don't have to worry about manifesting piles of sand. I mean, this guy that I talked to was a disciple of this Hari Harinanda for 13 years. He was the heir apparent. He could do that also. I mean, the shock people. Now, he was all impressed with this guy. I said, so what? And I just blew him away. I mean, who cares about this yoga idiot with a beard who can make people shake? What does that mean? It has no meaning. Because for me, the reality of the finished work of Christ has come. The reality of the New Jerusalem is my only life. I don't care what you do. You understand that? But I care that if you choose to be a disciple, that I must tell you what I see. But don't let anyone ever believe that I'm going to tell you what to do. I don't care what you do. But once you've said you're a disciple, then I have a responsibility to show you what I see. If I believe what I see, and I happen to believe it. I mean, I don't believe it. That's a stupid word. I know it. There's no doubt, there's not the slightest tinge of doubt in me of what I teach and what I preach. Now, discipleship says, I give my life to God and I lay down my soul for the brethren. I lay down the right to myself. This is what Harry got busted for. I mean, he looks at me and he thinks, well, if Foley tells somebody to do something, they'll do it. Well, if I tell somebody to do something, or ask somebody to do something, they just ignore me.
Or worse.
What he doesn't understand is I've spent 22 years earning that respect. It isn't because of the chair, as Daryl tried to say. It isn't because I've got some title. It's because, you know, for 6 years I got up at 6 o'clock every morning, took Larry to work. Because he didn't have a car. I can't tell you the thousands and thousands and thousands of things. So, well, do you want people's respect? Then lay down your life. You know, I've said in speeches that I was sitting in this panel, and there was all these experts that went on the homeless issue on a television show. And I said, you can't be an expert on homelessness, no matter what your degree is in, no matter what your position is, unless you've taken in the homeless. Unless you have a homeless person living in your house, you haven't the right to be called, call yourself. But my point, you have no right to criticize unless you've totally and 100% emptied yourself of your resources. Does that communicate to anybody? I mean, Harry has made himself into a caricature around here. He's got a nickname, Huffy. There's a war's name for him. Why? Because self-righteousness is his automatic persona. Doug has made himself a legend here, but a weasel is his automatic persona. But you don't have to stay in those personas. You know, you can stop the self-righteous dance tonight, forever. Why, if you see something, you don't go around and criticize Gary and hate Gary for having a mess outside the house. You go fix it. You don't criticize the body because they haven't done something that you think they should. You go do it. Your words are absolutely meaningless. My words are meaningless. Not only are they meaningless, they're sickening. Somebody understand me? And we have been translated into a different kingdom. It's a different set of circumstances than anybody in the universe. We aren't worried about creating or changing our reality. We live in the perfect reality, the reality of New Jerusalem. We're not worried about trying to convert somebody because we don't believe. I don't give a holy rat's quarter if anybody believes or not. That's not my business. My business is I believe, therefore I speak. I have no compulsion to speak. I don't think I ought to speak or should speak. I don't think I ought to do this or ought to do that. That's not even my language anymore. I be, I do, I am. I communicate to anybody.
Yeah, what I really hear is a sort of a bottom line is unless you've spent all your resources, you have no place to criticize.
And that includes time, and energy, and life.
Unless you've spent it all, shut up and do it. Anything other than that is just being the total Pharisee. It's like, you clean that up. You tie.
May I have any response?
I'm constantly doing.
Doing what?
Judging somebody, doing what you've just done. I mean, constantly. Blaming her, blaming everybody else. And that's without being able to see that it's finished. And that that's just like Paul, I mean, sitting here going through my head about Paul saying there's nothing but evil in me. That's what he said, but it's close. I mean, it's.
But what you must see is that you and she aren't two different people. Nor are you in the body, nor, for that matter, are you in God. I mean, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Then you can stop the dance. Take a big guy. I don't feel like talking to anyone.